This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best. 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget. And Capacity Productions, the number one source in online promotions. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best. Spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at CapacityProductions.net. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for Curious Quail and their new album, After the Lights Failed. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Gene, Steve McQueen, prettiest boy I've ever seen. See him shake on the movie screen, Jimmy Dean. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for Curious Quail and their latest album, After the Lights Failed. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Mike Shirley Donnelly of Curious Quail regarding the new album, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, from After the Lights Failed, here is Curious Quail with Instant Gratification. Of these barricades like it was nothing, with a mouse in the keyboard, a passport to the mail.
Yeah. started to break down. Remember the wind in your hair, was it all your hopes for, dear? It's time that we live in a song that you pray and dream for every night. A selfish abandonment's won't end it now. We all live for someone else. We all live for someone else.
From their album After the Lights Failed, that was Curious Quail with Instant Gratification. Check out the band at their official website, www.curiousquail.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Mike Shirley Donnelly of Curious Quail regarding the new album, and here's how the interview went.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. This is Brian with Rockwired. How are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing all right. How's it going?
Fantastic. Fantastic. How's San Francisco?
Well, we're based out of San Jose, which is about 40 to 50 miles south.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I mean, that said, we're lumped into the we are part of the quote SF Bay Area. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I lived in California for years, but I kind of stayed to the south.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Boston for a while, and everyone thought San Jose was the San Diego suburb. So I got that a lot. People were like, oh, yeah, you live near San Diego. Like, 400 miles away.
Oh, I used to get things like that, too. People thinking I live close to San Francisco when I didn't. But anyway, you know, this album you guys have out now, it's great to hear what sounds to me like a concept album in the age of the MP3.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, I love concept albums, and it kind of sounds like you've got one with this one. Am I right or am I wrong?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's technically the third part, because the first two that we released, we did a five-song EP that was, it was loosely conceptual, but the album we put out in 2012, Instant Gratification, was also a concept album, and it's the same part of the same story. So this album not only continues that, but it even kind of harkens back to it. There's a few similar characters, there's a few similar melodic lines. We're nerds.
Well, yeah, I see that, obviously. I mean, I don't mean that bad, you know, but...
No, neither do we.
but the theme of a society losing its technology. I mean, what was it about that that made you want to explore that in using music? I mean, what was it?
Well, I actually, so what happened was I was trying to write a book, and I had planned out, you know, a series of characters, stories, scenarios, and it all sort of, you know, it followed a specific, like, timeline. And the more I sat down to try and write it, the more I realized I was just terrible at writing dialogue or the small scale, the day-to-day stuff. Like, I could write the plot, I could write the characters, but I could not have two people talk to save my life. And so a lot of this just got shelved, and I never did anything with it. And then with this band, I was like, well, what the hell? Let's try this. Let's tell these stories in song instead. And it has, so far it's worked. So, you know, telling the story of this, you know, group of people that are trying to survive in this entirely different world that's, you know, kind of escaping the constructs of their day-to-day lives, it was a lot easier to tell those same stories in song and then make it accessible, so if you don't care about the story or you don't know the story, you can still enjoy the music.
Right, and do you ever see yourself, like, putting this on stage as a musical? I mean, you got the music, you got the plot, you know, all mapped out, so...
Yeah, we've actually been asked by a couple of different theater companies.
Oh, and wow.
Last year, we did a staged production of the previous album, Instant Gratification. Not so much like a play, but the theme in that one, it's two characters that have died in this event, in the whole, you know, end of the world, losing power thing. But they're in this weird sort of afterlife, and they're trying to piece together their experiences from a series of effectively Polaroids. So all the album art was done on Polaroids with, you know, messages, you know, like sort of written on the back. And the way that we did that with the album art was that each page of the booklet was a Polaroid, and then there was the lyrics on the back. And so we did a production of the album live with the Polaroids and the photos sort of projected over in a theater, a place called the City Light Theater Company. And it was very, very theatrical, and after that they've asked us if we want to pursue like a musical type thing for this. But, you know, we're kind of hesitant because we don't want to do like a American Idiot the musical type thing. We'd rather do something more fun with it, so.
I see. And, you know, I mean, you know, people give technology a bad rap for good reasons, and sometimes I think bad, and sometimes I think bad reasons.
Right.
But you know, I mean, you having written all this, what kind of viability do you think you would have if we lost all of our technology? Yeah. I mean, I run a podcast and a website for a living. I sometimes, you know, the possibilities frighten me. But, you know, how about for you?
For us in particular, because, you know, we are not, you know, survivalists. We're not,
right.
You know, we would probably die in a situation like this. we're very upfront about that. I mean, Joey, our drummer, he's sort of like a MacGyver, so we all might just survive if he does. But, you know, for the most part, it's that's the interesting dichotomy of it, is, you know, we're writing songs about this type of stuff using electricity. And I don't just mean recording software and, you know, electrified guitars. I mean, like, you know, we're using electronic game hardware to make these, you know, the chip sounds and a lot of the, like, electronic stuff.
Right.
But then on the side, we've got, you know, this organic element to it where if we just have a hand drum, an acoustic guitar, and a violin, we can and will do it. And we've sort of done both. It's actually kind of funny. We're playing a street fair this weekend entirely. Everything that is not acoustic, we have to power with batteries because we're going to be in the middle of nowhere. And it's funny to be singing songs about, you know, an electricity-free apocalypse on a stage with powered lights, and, you know, it's really kind of funny.
And I'm on you guys' Facebook page right now, and I'm looking at the picture on you guys' cover. And which one are you?
I'm the guy, I believe in that picture, I'm in the middle. I'm the singer-songwriter. I have a vest on, but it's open, if that's the
okay.
Picture that you're looking at.
Yeah, it says buy now on IT, yeah. Okay, so you're the one in the middle. So tell me, bring me back to the to the formation of this band. How did it all get started?
Oh, Lord. I started it as a solo project, 2008. After being a lot of terrible bands throughout my youth, I was like, I'm going to sit down and start a solo thing, pull out an acoustic guitar, pull out an Atari 800, throw some sounds together in a loop pedal and just play shows with it live. And it was a lot of fun, but it was just kind of stressful because, when you're doing everything by yourself, if anything goes wrong and you trigger the wrong sample or you play a sour note that's now going to get looped over and over and over again. So I was moonlighting in another band playing guitar, and the drummer for that band was like, dude, you need drums. And that was Jovi, who is now drummer pretty much since he started playing with me in 2009, just occasionally showing up to shows. And he knew Alan, our violinist, from high school. And Alan had just relocated back from, he had lived in Portland for a while, and he just moved back to the Bay Area, was kind of looking for some musical stuff to do. And Aaron, who's our bassist slash vocalist, was in another band that we absolutely loved, and then they broke up, so we poached the hell out of her. We were like, yep, come on. And we at one point, we had live members that sort of rotated in and out, and we were up to about a 7-piece. And in 2012, it started to get a little bit serious. A lot more opportunities kind of opened up for us. And, we're talking about touring, doing this full time. And some of the live members of the band were like, dude, I can't commit to that. So some people quit, and a couple of the things shifted around. And our friend Abe, who is a longtime fan of the band, joined on guitar and keys to take the place of some of the live people that had quit. So it's just been the five of us ever since. And we're very much approaching it like a band now, as opposed to just me writing stuff and telling what everybody else wants to play.
And for you, did writing come first, or was it music, or both?
It was sort of both. I mean, technically, I started playing music when I was about like 13 years old, and I don't think I wrote a short story until I was 15 or 16. But, again, when you're that young, what you're producing is not necessarily good. So I would associate myself as much more of a musician first and writer second, if for no other reason than the whole writing stories didn't work out for me, so now I just cheat and tell truncated versions of the music.
Check out the band at their official website, www.curiousquail.com. From their album After the Lights Failed, here is Curious Quail once again with Moon and Stars.
Stars all white. all gonna mean for me? Don't have a clue. Live together, die together on our own terms. There's no place I'd rather be.
You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.
Sometimes I feel like I'm slipping in the same old shit.
Rockwired Media is pleased to announce the rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Wayland, and their new single, Get a Little.
Home by 7 by 11, I'm ready to crash. This mean old world keeps knocking me.
An object in motion tends to stay in motion, and there ain't nothing stopping Wayland from proving to the masses that rock and roll's not dead.
By the end of the week, I think I've earned the right to get a little drunk, get a little stoned, catch a
Get a Little, the new single from Wayland, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit them at www.waylandtheband.com.
Monday morning showed up way too soon. Can't call in sick.
Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com.
Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. Passionate, fearless, innovative. Gorgeous Media is an award-winning firm specializing in artist development, branding, creative consultation, event planning, music supervision, publicity, and talent management for all areas of the entertainment industry, from music, film, fashion, theater, and art. To schedule a free consultation, email us at info@gorgeousmediagroup.com or call us at 323-782-9000. That number again is 323-782-9000. Without a doubt, the future is looking gorgeous. Visit us at gorgeousmediagroup.com. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Curious Quail and their new album, After the Lights Failed. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Mike Shirley Donnelly of Curious Quail regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And talk a little bit more about your writing process. How do you go about it?
You know, it's sort of, I jotted down a bunch of ideas, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to explore this. And I very much love things that connect. So I would write down, okay, this is a character's progression. This is their timeline. I would sketch out, and I found all of these things. I was not paying attention in college is basically what the moral of the story is. I was finding out, okay, this is character A, and they were born on this date, and they die on this date, and these are the things that they do. And then throw in other characters and go, okay, on the timeline, this is where they intersect, this is where, you know, their stories sort of connect, but this is how it relates to B. And then when it came to shifting it into music, it was really sort of easy because I grew up with a lot of playing way too many video games, and the soundtracks and the scores, a lot of it is very inspired by musicals, so characters and places will have themes. And so I would sort of do the same thing, where this character would have this melodic theme. And so this song would feature this melody, and if we needed to reference that character in other songs, we would use that same melody in other songs. So, you know, if again, you can listen to After the Lights Failed start to finish and appreciate it for what it is just fine. But if you've listened to the previous albums, you can totally hear callbacks and similar instrumentation and go, oh, okay, this is actually... you know, if the song Reconstruction, the last track on the new record, features themes and basically story elements from all three records, and there's musical melodies from all three records in that song. So it's kind of like that weird scene in a musical where it's the finale and everything's happening at once, and then, you know, the audience does the standing ovation, and everyone does the weird reprise, and it's
I see. And the second song on the album, Instant Gratification, shares the name of the album that comes before it. Talk about its purpose in this larger piece.
It's sort of a twofold thing, because one, the nitty-gritty of the upfront is that it didn't make the production deadline for the previous record.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, both albums are intrinsically connected, so it sort of made sense to push it back, but it sort of set a precedent with the previous record. You know, Instant Gratification, the record, came out in 2012, and the same thing happened with the song The Glow, which was supposed to be on the first EP, which is called The Glow. You know, track the midway through the Instant Gratification album, you find the song The Glow, and it was the same thing. It didn't make the production deadline, but it also tied it together, so we were just like, no, it works, just go with it, just go with it. Because it tells the story of what happens, more or less. It's way more start to finish than the rest of After the Lights Failed, where it's like a snapshot into a specific moment after everything falls apart. Instant Gratification is more of a song that's telling you about what's happening when it's happening.
And Moon Plus Stars is one of the songs that stands out, one of the performances that stands out for me. And just tell listeners, at what point of the story are we in when that song is on?
We are at two people that, you know, essentially are trying to survive in this new, you know, they're not even sure what it is, because it could very well be considered a hell, it could be considered liberation, but you've got two people that are in love and trying to make it work despite the fact that everything that they know is completely gone. So it's very fresh, very off the cusp, they're probably still wearing the same clothes they were the day that everything fell apart. Like, it's that close to the event. And the further you get away from, you know, further into the album you get, the more chronological you get away from the event and how people are living their lives after that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And you talked a little bit about live performances, but, you know, what songs sort of get audience members going the most? I mean, what
Definitely instant gratification and the villain. If for no other reason than they have very crowd participation parts, the sort of choral breakdown in instant gratification where you have all the people group singing along. We sort of put out a call to a bunch of friends and bands, and you know, about 30 people showed up to the recording session of that. And you know, since you've got an album that's about the end of the world, but people are trying to come together and building community, it was kind of nice. So whenever we're playing live, if we see one or two people out in the crowd that were at that recording session, which happens to us a fair amount, you know, it's sort of everyone kind of like lights up and everyone sings it together. And if you see videos of us playing that song, you can see Alan, our violinist, you know, he's not mic'd, but he's still singing every line. And it's, you know, that really fires people up. And then on top of that, the villain, just letting Alan, our violinist, just let him do that intro and do his solo and just tear it up, and everybody's clapping along, and it's a really awesome feeling being on stage when either one of those songs are happening.
And is this it for this story, for this tale that you're telling, or is something else coming after the lights failed, or
something
like when the lights came on, or something?
Yes, something is definitely coming next. We've like I said, the story has been planned out for decades, so I'm very excited to see that not only that this worked, but that people are asking questions about it. People are really excited about this idea that there might be more to the story, and it's in usual troll fashion, we're not exactly telling what happens to these group of people next. We're going to shift to a different group of people that are experiencing something very different.
And just for clarity, this chiptunes thing, you know what, video games wasn't something I ever really got into. You know, I mean, I'm probably the same age as you are, but it just never did. So, what are they specifically?
So the way this worked is back in the 80s,
right.
And you know, the Nintendo and the Game Boy are pretty much the biggest culprits of this, but
okay.
They had a dedicated sound chip built into the machine. So instead of, you know, when you're playing it old, like Mario is pretty much the classic example.
Okay.
Every sound that comes with it, you know, jumping sounds to the, you know, the coin sounds.
Oh, I see.
Generated with this sound chip. And so that's also how they did the music. They would program in notes, and, you know, instead of writing out sheet music, they would literally program in numbers into this tracker, and it would output the music. And so since then, people have figured out how to make that a little bit easier, and you can use the Game Boy or the Nintendo, the console itself, as a musical instrument. So you program in the notes, and then it plays it on out. So we've got that in the background of everything else that we're doing, and it sort of adds this extra weird sort of retro nostalgic feel to the rest of the songs.
And since you've said that, you know, the story is definitely going to continue, where do you see the story going next?
Going to leave that one as a bit of a surprise, because there's quite a few things coming with the next record. But like I said, it's not immediately. The next record is going to focus on a different group of survivors instead of the ones that we're focusing on this one.
Check out the band at their official website, www.curiousquail.com. From their album After the Lights Failed, here is Curious Quail once again with The Villain.
And I'm the villain. hammer comes out, and though you're cold, your worries have already begun. The shots are fired and you're cold. Your worries have already begun, and I'm the villain now.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Mike Shirley Donnelly for his time and his music, and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC. A limited liability company and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rock and roll. Rock.